You're listening to the Cross Brand Sunday Morning Service on HLE Radio. Now here is Pastor Mike Morrow with today's message.
Matt kind of laid it on you last week. Is your brain tired? It's some deep old stuff, wasn't it? And I get to go in and do the really spooky stuff this morning and next Sunday at least. I will give you the reason why. I started praying about this and talking to the staff about this, and it just seemed appropriate, since David was here, talked about good angels, it might be appropriate for Matt and I to kind of talk about the evil angels. Matt gave you a great history and background on them and was so important. And then I'm going to come in and give you some characteristics of them and make sure you embrace the idea that they are absolutely 100% real. And at the same time, there's a lot of lies going on about these guys. And look, I posted, and you can go look on Morrow Cattle Facebook feed if you want to, but I posted a deal. There was a cow that had a lawn chair stuck around her neck. Did you see that? Now, that's happened to me in real life. And I'm going to tell you, I don't know if you've ever asked a good ranch horse to get up in position so you can stand up to rope a cow with an unidentified object on her head. I like never got him up there, because that ain't natural for a cow to be walking around with a thing on her head. And the caption said something like this: sometimes it's not the devil that makes you do it. It is your choice that gets us in some of these situations. And so I want to talk this morning a little bit about that. Now, so far the service has been heavy, hadn't it? It's been kind of heavy. So let me give you something to chew on. If you're in C316, you probably heard most of this information before, but we really felt like I need to talk about demons. There was a kid that, he's in a Southern Gospel group, but when he was a kid, he was very, very fluffy. He was very obese as a child, and guess what church he went to? A Pentecostal church. And so they were convinced that he had the demon of obesity, the demon of fatness, and he couldn't control his diet. And he was a sneaky little dude, so they called him down during the altar call. And the elders and the pastor are going to cast the demon of obesity out of this child. Well, I wish that was that easy. Don't you? Forget that Ozempic or whatever it is. Just go to the Pentecostal church. And anyhow, and he's a little bitty boy. But he grew up in that Pentecostal church. It's casting demons out there. It's speaking in tongues and healing people. And he went down and is praying for him, is rebuking him. The demon in him is hitting him on the head. And they said, "Come out, demon." And he said, "I don't know what got into me." I looked at him, had my eyes real big. I was trying to be scary. They said, "Come out." And he said, "I will for a cookie." About died. I wish it was that simple to talk about these guys. Today, Dr. Wayne Gruden, Dr. John MacArthur, and a couple of other sources have kind of helped me put together this sermon. Of course, I put it together with my own twist, but there's going to be several aspects on demons, the evil angels. And I'm not going to go into the background and where they came from. You know all that based on last week. But let's just look at a few basic things today. And of course, it's going to be mostly scripture. There's not going to be a lot of explanation because I got a lot of ground to cover today. So number one, it's very important you believe me on this. Our primary source of information regarding demons should be what? Scripture. Hollywood don't know what they're talking about. If they did, wouldn't it be cool if every demon was like Adam Sandler's Little Nicky? TV, the internet, look it up on, here's what Wikipedia says. Demons are a result of human souls going to hell and being tortured until no humanity is left in them, thus turning them into demons. Most demons forgot what it means to even be human. Some have forgotten that they were once human. In general, demons engage in torture and destruction because it is fun and to avoid being tortured. Listen to this. Some demons, however, are true believers in Lucifer's agenda to cleanse the earth and actually consider themselves morally superior to humans. There's a couple of specks of truth in that, but isn't that the way falsities work? Let's just put a little bit of truth in there and you just suck it right up and go. I am telling you right now, if you Google demons, and I'm going to tell you some of the crazy stuff, but you can literally, I don't know why anybody would do this, but you can literally download a process for asking one of the top five demons to invade you. Terrible. But we know the truth. John Piper says this: demons are real. Satan is real, and every pastor should do a serious study of the devil and his ways and of the demons. Now, I agree, and decide how he is going to deal with that, because there is an attack on the church in various forms at all times. Do you see that? And that's why when I talk to people about spiritual warfare, satanic attacks, demonization, I am telling you, I ask the Lord every day. Y'all know I've told you my ritual prayer, but I ask the Lord to go ahead and get in front of Satan. I don't like the guy pestering me. I don't want to be in a position where I have to be tempted to say something bad at the Walmart to the guy in front of me that's really not a plumber. He should be. He just needs to pull his britches up. You know, evil angels, demons are mentioned in some form or fashion 120 times in the scriptures. The Old Testament speaks very little of them. Now, I'm going to show you a few places that they occur. About 16 times in the Old Testament. However, in the New Testament, it is astronomical. There's 104 references to demons in some form or fashion. We understand that there's several characteristics, and I hope you'll know this, because this will actually help you understand why some of the stuff is happening in your own personal life, and possibly why you are under attack in specific areas. They're not dummies. They have intellect. In Luke chapter 8, terrible story, but we got to talk about it. They arrived in the region of Gerasenes across the lake from Galilee. And as Jesus was climbing out of the boat, a man possessed by demons, plural, came out to meet him. And for a long time, he had been homeless and nude, living in the tombs outside the town. As soon as he saw Jesus, he shrieked, fell down in front of him, and he screamed, "Why are you interfering with me? Why are you interfering with me?" Does that look like he knows him? Apparently. "Please, I beg you, don't torture me." And you're going to see time and time again that demons oftentimes initiate the first conversation with Jesus in these situations. They're smart. And that's why people... why are we sometimes so surprised when we come under attack and we go, I hadn't thought of that in years. I've literally had people that had gone sober for 20 plus years and all of the sudden they begin to crave again. And they go back. I've known people that have had a stable marriage and all of a sudden they go to their Facebook page or Instagram or whatever you do and there's a message from a former girlfriend. Guys, demons have been around forever. Listen, they're smarter than you are. They have been observing human behavior, failures, temptations from the beginning of time. The same demons that mess with us are the same demons that mess with presidents. Something else you need to know. Every one of them know the truth about Jesus. I mean, they got intellect, as I just read. You say you have faith. This next scripture, James chapter 2. You believe that there is one God. Get good for you. Even the demons believe this. They know the truth. And by the way, that's one of the reasons they're so good at authoring false doctrines. They author false doctrines. Now the Holy Spirit tells us clearly that in the last time some will turn away from the true faith and they will follow deceptive spirits and teachings that come from who? Demons. So I am good most of the time on trying to not be sound critical and over harsh on fellow preachers. But I'm telling you, it seems like about every 10 years, some kind of new false doctrine pops up. And so now you can check this. And I will be honest with you. I haven't researched the full philosophy. But there, it is called New Thought. And it is coming into evangelical churches. New Thought. Now, before that, of course, we have progressive Christianity. The progressives put just enough truth. Matter of fact, I heard a woman preacher, I don't know what denomination, one of the reasons Jesus was such a great mentor and a great hero was that, like you and I, he struggled with certain sin areas. And I'm telling you, that I mean, it just rolled off like honey. She was a very good communicator. And then you've got, just recently I was reading this week, guys like Osteen. What about Kenneth Copeland? They believe in the little God theory. There's a particular scripture, I'm sorry I don't have the reference right here, but they believe that we are little gods. We are little Jesuses. I'm telling you, who is the author of that? Demons, Satan. Satan and his minions. And again, when we allow experience and our particular passions to overcome the desire for sound doctrine, that's what happens. Listen, if we affirmed everybody's sin here, we'd have to have three services. I'm not always saying that attendance is tied into sound doctrine, but I'm saying Scripture tells me it is. The closer we get to Christ's return, the itchier people's ears are, and the more hardening of the conscience we're going to see people become. Demons. Now, they do have emotions. James chapter 2 and verse 19 again says that they tremble, that last word, third word there from the bottom. I do want you to know that they're created beings. Again, go to Scripture for this. Don't look to Hollywood. Don't look to Wikipedia or whatever the other garbage that's out there. But oftentimes people believe that demons are actually humans that have somehow been converted to the demonic. No, sir. They had a choice. They were created. They were part of God's entire creation, as we see in Colossians. And then they chose, about a third of them chose to rebel. So in Colossians 1:16, for through God, for through him, Jesus, God created everything in the heavenly realms and on the earth. He made the things we can see. There it is. But look at this, the things we can't see, thrones, kingdoms, rulers, authorities in the unseen world, which, by the way, if you want to go down a rabbit hole, that particular scripture and one in Ephesians is pretty good evidence that the demonic world is very regimented. We believe from scripture, from what we can tell, even though there's so much mystery around this, that they're set up pretty organized and they're pretty regimented. There is a hierarchy there. And then they're, okay. Now their spirit. If I were to ask everybody in this building, what does a demon look like? Of course, you know that's a trick question. Don't answer me. But you know good and well, in your mind, you've got some image of what a demon looks like. Where'd that come from? And don't say mother-in-law. I just saw a couple of guys laughing, and I read your sarcasm. They're spirits. They don't have bodies. Do they invade bodies? Yes, they can. Do they use their host that they've invaded? Yes, they can. But in 1 Samuel, I want to show you something. 1 Samuel 16. Now the spirit of the Lord had left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit that filled him with depression. Most commentaries, most believe that this was a evil spirit, and did some terrible, terrible things. And I'm not saying people in hell can't see what a demon looks like. I know at some point, you have to go all the way to Revelation, I believe that people will be able to see the unseen in hell. I'm not so sure now, but here's this. The closest thing we have in the New Testament to describing what a demon looks like. You ready? Put that Corinthians up there. I think it's up there. Is this. I'm going to skip that one. Let me give you another one here. It's 2 Corinthians 11:14. This is the closest thing we have to describing a demon. Paul said, I'm not surprised. Even Satan disguises himself as an angel of light. That lets you down, right? We still don't know. We just know they're spirits. Can people see him? Well, let me remember what David said about near-death experiences. Do you remember the stories? Do you remember your stories? Right, Amber? She's got a great angel story. It's good for the goose, good for the gander. I believe that potentially people can at some point see the spirit world. At some point. There's just not any scriptural evidence other than people seeing angels. And so I kind of assume they can see at times. Now, they're mobile. You know that, right? Just like angels are not sitting on a cloud in heaven playing a harp. Never did like that little fat dude. Cost me a lot of prom dates. Cupid. They're not sitting in hell, except for a few, and I'll read this in just a moment. There is a reference in Jude that there was the baddest of the bad that have already gone to hell. That Jesus already put them there. However, and I think Matt may have covered some of that, some believe it may be actually the Nephilim that's already in hell. In 1 Peter chapter 5, stay alert, watch out for your great enemy. He prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. I don't know about you, but you do not have to know Greek to just know. Prowling around is what we do on horses. You do that on colts. Just go prowl a pasture. Prowling around is it's a pretty good self-description. I do know this. They're mobile. They're not sitting in hell, but they also can enter people, unbelievers. They can enter people and then go away. And actually, if that person doesn't do something about that, they can re-enter that person. Matthew chapter 12, when an evil spirit leaves a person and it goes into the desert seeking rest but finding none, then he says, I will return to the person I came from. The only problem in that particular scripture is he took some buddies with him. So this is a completely different topic. Just remember, once you get ahead of demonic oppression as a believer, once you get ahead of it and you're square, just remember there's some spiritual maintenance that has to be done. Maintenance like ingesting the word, praying constantly, hanging out with your community, and pushing back against Satan. Matt's going to talk a little bit about that before I get to the young adult deal today. But you know, a lot of us, you bought into that dumb bumper sticker, let go and let God. I am telling you, I am going to absolutely trust the Lord. But I'm going to trust his word. And he told me I have to push back on Satan. Resist the devil and he will flee from you. That's why so many Christians think they got him beat and he comes back, because you got soft. You got passive on your spiritual walk. And then they're not, they are mobile, But one of the things about being mobile is they can visit heaven, even though they were banished. And I'm not, hey, Tammy, I'm not going to read that Revelation 12. I'm just going to take everybody back over to the book of Job. Remember, Satan showed up there, and I don't know if his minions were with him, but when Job was about to be tempted and crushed and wrecked, lose everything. Who suggested that? Well, God suggested it, but Satan was wanting it. He stood before the Lord. And then during Earth's history, by the way, Matt prayed for me before I came out here. I have to have extra prayer when I talk about the spiritual warfare. And if you haven't noticed, when you begin to dive into this topic, strange stuff begins to happen. And I'm not talking about it like a door shut or your head will spin around and you'll pea soup. That's not what I'm talking about. I'm just talking about it. By the way, I've had a terrible week. Woe is me. No, not woe is me. I knew when I picked this topic. I knew when I sent it to Matt and said, you do this, and then I'm going to come in on this. I knew it was going to be terrible. How was it terrible? Well, I don't, just life. Life. They don't like us talking about them, but I will tell you this. They're going to be held accountable. Number one, now, during Earth's history as we know it, in Jude, in Jude chapter 6, here's that spooky verse that I referenced a minute ago. I'm going to go ahead and go there. And like I say, Jude only has one chapter. So in the sixth verse, I remind you of the angels who did not stay within the limits of authority God gave them, but they left their place that belonged to them. God has kept them securely chained in the prisons of darkness, waiting for the day of judgment. So that tells you two things. Number one, God said enough. You think what we understand is bad and the demonics, in the demonic realm, it is bad. But can you imagine when God steps up and says, these are too bad. These are the worst of the worst. And again, it's probably reference to the Nephilim who intermarried with females. That may even be possibly where some of the giants came from in the Old Testament. Another rabbit hole, you do the research on that. But I'm telling you, they're going to be held accountable. That last part of that word says till the day of judgment. What does that mean? But in the end of time, there will be a great reckoning. And I'm telling you, for every single stupid minion, demon that has prevented your family from flourishing, God's going to get them. For every demon that has been at the bedside of some of your people who were so addicted to drugs, they would take whatever. And all of a sudden, beside their bedside, those demons were tickled to death. God will have the final say. And yes, they are powerful. I'm going to get here. We don't have much. They are powerful. They can reside in humans. They can reside in animals. I think that's funny. Every time I've said that, of course, you know how my brain works. Such a smart aleck. But I've owned some horses that had the devil. I know the last cow that smoked me down, I saw the devil. But they can reside in humans, they can reside in animals. We understand in Mark chapter 5, Jesus gave them permission. The evil spirits ran out of the man and went into the pigs. The entire herd, 2,000, plunged over into the lake and drowned. It physically and emotionally can affect people. I got off on my rant a minute ago, but I'm telling you, look, let me jump down to this. I believe ultimately that every drug overdose, every suicide especially, every kid that cuts themselves, I believe that is 100% demonic. And there in the background, whispering in their ear, is a demon. We see that the Spirit of the Lord left Saul, and the Lord sent a tormenting spirit. They filled him with what? Two things, depression and fear. I don't know how they did it. I haven't heard a demon, but I know that demons are behind so many of my suggestions to do something stupid. And yes, I'm going to pick up next week, but let's roll down to that final statement from R.C. Sproul. I love R.C. Sproul. He was a very great man. Many people disagreed with some of his predestination issues, but I'm going to tell you, he is a great scholar. He says, we're not doomed to an ultimate conflict with no hope of resolution. The message of Scripture is one of victory, full, final, ultimate victory. It is not our doom that is certain, but Satan, the demonic, the demons. His head has been crushed by the heel of Christ, who is the Alpha and Omega. How about an amen? Amen. Now, do not walk out of this building freaked out, scared to death. There's two extremes, and that's what C.S. Lewis said. Some people are just so caught up and scared to death of the demonic. Don't. And then he said the others, deny them. Those two extremes will get you in trouble either way. What is the balance? The balance is Jesus is boss. And if you have Jesus in you, Satan can't touch you. He can't have you. He can tempt you. But there's so many things I'll show you in a week or two that you can do. We are the victors. Quit walking around thinking you ain't. You got a drinking problem, you got a drug problem, you got an anger problem, you got this, you got that. You're just constantly living with depression. I understand. Yes, seek help, medical, counseling, but the first step is to acknowledge that Jesus owns your soul and Satan didn't have to have you. Secondly today, here's the thing. We do not use fear tactics here. But I'm telling you, if you're not a believer, you might want to be afraid. Just as a matter of getting your attention, Jesus died for a common problem we have, sin. We're sinners by nature, sinners by choice. And the only solution to us getting square with God, the Father, is through Christ. And today, as our prayer partners are coming down, I need you to understand whether you walk down there and talk to them during or after the service or whether you do it from your seat, you can follow Jesus today. Let's pray. Prayer partners, Father, I do thank you that I ain't got to be afraid of Satan. I don't have to be afraid of demonics. I just got to be aware. I got to pay attention. I got to pray harder. I got to ingest your word at every opportunity I can during the day. I've got to have my people, and I got to resist. Father, if there's a believer here today that is suffering, they're struggling, I pray today you will pinpoint that area and give them some resolve. Secondly, if there's someone here this morning and they have never had that one time on purpose, on their own, prayer to invite you in, I pray that whether they come down front or right where they sit, they'll just say, Jesus, I admit it. I'm a mess. I'm a sinner. Please forgive me. And please change my life. Lord Jesus, thank you so much for giving us 100%, no holds barred, victory over the dark world in Christ's name.